views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, 1150 AM in the Seattle area. You might be listening anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio on one of the 90 syndicated stations. I think it's up to 90 at this point, or on ChristineUpchurch.com after the fact. But whenever and wherever you're listening from, I'm so glad you've joined us. You're going to be happy you joined us here today, too. I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio, the man who does the magic of technology so that you can hear these conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny.
Hi there. We're waiting so patiently for that next big group of radio clients to come through to crest to our 100th station. That'd be always a fun... Don't shake your head that way.
No, it's just so funny because the way things are these days, there are all these stations that kind of grab the radio
So technically
shows.
We could be.
It's very possible.
Oh,
it's
well,
very possible.
Say we're over 100 then.
It's kind of like, oh, surprise, surprise, it's over there and it's here and it's there. And, you know, I don't know what it means, but...
Triple digits.
Triple digits. And it's really exciting when... it'll be very exciting when we get to triple digits for the number of countries because I think the last... I saw it was like 93 or 94 countries that accessed my website to listen to the shows.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's gone up a little bit.
It has. So
cool.
That's kind of cool.
All right.
And of course, former math major, former statistician, you know, the numbers are kind of cool.
Still sexy.
Yeah, it is.
Numbers and you.
And we're at the end of the year, Benny. How did 2017 fly by so fast?
I'm kind of glad it did. At this point, looking forward to 2018.
Yeah.
You betcha.
There are many of us who feel that way.
Yep.
And I'm really excited about our guest today because, you know, when you do radio, particularly on a station such as KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio, you get to talk to amazing people who sort of are looking at things in a very conscious way. They're looking at the science, the spirituality, the psychology behind what's happening in our world and what happens on a personal level. And so when we have the opportunity to talk to various guests, people who are leaders in the consciousness realm, it gives us a different kind of perspective as well. And the people I'm talking about today are radio veterans here on KKNW. I am talking about talk show hosts Gary Mantz and Suzanne Mitchell. They are, get this, they're in their 11th year of broadcasting here on KKNW in Seattle. And it's funny because I thought my show's been going for a long time and it's just hitting 5 years. So they've more than doubled my time on radio. And they have a passion for everything from pop culture to the paranormal. And they have not only a show on Fridays that precedes mine every week, but also Saturday mornings. So they are here on the radio to open our minds, to make us laugh occasionally, and to sort of help us process and shift our consciousness. Gary was raised in Southern California and lived in Seattle for 22 years. Suzanne is from Chicago originally, and she lived here in Seattle for a decade when she ended up meeting Gary here. They now live in Sarasota, Florida, which is probably drier and warmer than it is here today. And they maintain their Seattle radio connection from a home studio. I'm so grateful to have them here today, Gary and Suzanne. Hello.
Hello, and Happy New Year to you, Christine.
Happy New Year.
Happy...
A lot of cheering. It goes through all these soundproof walls, too. Interesting, Benny.
Totally does.
Yeah.
I was coughing. Producer's got a cough.
You know, this has been quite the year, and I'm so glad that you two are my last guests of the year, because it's going to offer us an opportunity to reflect back, because in order to move forward, I think it's very helpful for us, whether we're talking about on an individual level or a collective level, to assess where we're at and to think about where we might be going potentially. So I would love to hear from you two about your perspective on 2017.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Christine.
Well, I was hoping to be more positive.
We'll get there, Suzanne, I promise.
Where we're going, how we get there. I'm reminded of a certain destination, and the means of conveyance is a handbasket. So we'll have to see how 2018 looks there with 2017 in the rearview mirror. Uh-huh. I see we're such a divided nation politically, and even, I hate to say it, ethnically, socioeconomically, for sure.
Right.
So, Christine, my best and most concise answer to your question is, I think we are headed to a watershed where we're going to have to decide who we are as a nation. Are we a people where everybody is in it for himself and herself, or are we going to take everybody into account and find a system that works for everyone?
Mm-hmm. So, Suzanne, what's your assessment of 2017?
Well, I'm going to give you a much more personal answer. Gary's answer sounded to me a bit more global than mine is going to be. And that is, for me, 2017 involved a couple of personal items, both of them good. And that was that after a couple years of talking about it and bouncing ideas back and forth, Gary and I actually made a 71-day road trip.
Oh, yeah.
We went to a number of national parks. We went to Glacier National Park. We went to Devil's Tower. We stayed in Yellowstone for two nights, the Badlands. Mm-hmm. We went to the Crazy Horse Monument. We went to the Battle at Little Bighorn. We went to places that are on people's bucket lists. Uh-huh. And we said, if not now, when? And so after talking about it for a couple of years, even though we're not prepared and we don't have everything buttoned down, mm-hmm. let's do it. And so we had the road trip of a lifetime. The other thing that I wanted to say about 2017, and this will kind of fold into 2018, is that I decided I would take up a spiritual practice, something very specific. And what I chose to do was a journal of one page per day, uh-huh. of everything that I was grateful for that day.
Oh, wow, a gratitude journal.
A gratitude journal. And here on the 29th, I have not yet missed a day. Uh-huh. Now, this is a big accomplishment for me, because as an Aries woman, I have at least 100 or 200 projects, all started, none finished.
I'm the same way, yes.
There you go. But I've managed to get to this point with only three more days in the year to write about. And for me personally, it has taken me away from a lot of the negativity and turning to what is positive in my life, mm-hmm. in a year where it was a good thing for me to do. And I found that the things that I was most grateful for ended up being the simplest things, the food I ate, the exercise I got, the people I talked to on the telephone or met in person. It wasn't about big, grandiose things. It wasn't about winning the lottery.
Right.
It was about every single day, small things that add up to a really good life. And Gary and I have talked over and over again about how lucky we really feel. And so when you say 2017, I understand the global idea of the chaos and the hurricanes and the, you know, what is happening on that scale. But when I bring it down to the micro level and to my own life, it really was not a bad year at all. It was actually a very good year.
Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes we lose sight of that. And I think particularly this year, since Donald Trump was elected, it created chaos in who I'd call normally fairly centered people. And so it's put people off kilter, more on the defensive, less on the focusing on the simple pleasures and joy of life. So Gary, how do we look at this global situation, and in particular in the United States, and somehow find some peace in it?
I'm not sure that the peace is going to be coming our way in the near term. That remains the goal, and isn't that so eternally? Anyway, that's a perennial goal, especially sure. This time of year. I believe that there is going to be an increased emphasis on citizen action. Mm. It, of course, that includes voter participation, but there are resources, people resources, that will need to be mobilized if we're going to make a change. I say that, Christine, especially in view of how democratic institutions are being degraded. They're being discounted. When's the last time you heard the FBI being trashed?
Yes,
for example, or a free press, which all of a sudden is the harbor of fake news, right, according to some people. Yeah. So unless we're going to exist in our ideological echo chambers, people are going to have to find the pragmatic means of solving problems and looking past philosophical differences to the fundamental fact of existence, which is everyone wants to pursue happiness. That is one of our constitutionally guaranteed rights, whatever that happiness looks like. And we're going to have to do it with an increasing population, and we're not growing any more real estate, by the way.
Yeah.
So that's going to take some accommodation, and I'm not sure when we're going to reach that point, and I'm not sure that we can do it without going through the crisis door, as in constitutional crisis.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with you, Gary. I think that we are at a crisis point of sorts, but it also feels like we have the opportunity to shift in major ways. One of the things that I'm struck by about 2017 is how much corruption has been illuminated. It's funny because when I was watching the election returns, last November, I was all by myself, so I didn't have anybody sort of talking, to me, and let me just say, the person who was elected president was not my choice, not my first choice, probably my very last choice of all the potential candidates from the very beginning. And yet there was something about it, like once the election returns came in and he was declared a winner, I felt this ease within my body, like somehow we were, as a collective, we had the opportunity to get onto a new path. And it didn't make any sense to my logical mind, and I still struggle with the sort of the logic versus the sense of knowingness, but I get this sense that this is waking people up in a new way. And, I'm hopeful for the future, and I'm going to want to hear what Gary and Suzanne have to say about how we individually can shift ourselves and what we can do collectively to make 2018 a better year. Stay tuned for more with Gary and Suzanne. Chances are you've been on your conscious journey for many years, and you've learned a lot about manifesting a wonderful life. But if you are like many others on their spiritual paths, you may still have some area of your life where you're feeling stuck. Perhaps you've read many books, attended lots of workshops, listened to many programs, and done plenty of inner work, and yet there is still something you'd like to change. With all the information out there, it may be hard to see the forest for the trees. Do you want to get a bird's eye view of that forest so you are empowered to navigate more effectively? Do you want to know the key to positive change and develop a personalized strategy for creating the changes you desire? Please join me, Christine Upchurch, for a 4-week webinar series beginning January 9th. Start your new year right and embrace the vibration of change. For more information, visit ChristineUpchurch.com. That's ChristineUpchurch.com or call 425-999-9836.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
You know that feeling in your gut? That tiny whisper in the back of your ear? The tinge behind your knee that says, let's go for it? But then your mind says, eh, that's ridiculous. Do you ever wonder if that little voice might be onto something? My name is Audrey Michelle. I'm the host of Rewired Life Radio, as well as a spiritual growth coach. If you're ready to stop letting fear lead you around, let's talk. If you're at the point in your life where you're ready to shed layers of what you thought you were supposed to be and are ready to take the next step to trust your best resource, let's talk. I can help you discover the voice of inner wisdom. I will guide you through a process to unearth your best self. To learn more, go to audreymichelle.com/coaching. That's Audrey Michelle, spelled michelle.com/coaching.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm enjoying my conversation with Gary Manson, Suzanne Mitchell, hosts of the Manson Mitchell Show. You know, you two, you I have done, you have been interviewing some of the most amazing people over the course of 2017. And I know that it helps me in particular to gain better perspective. Having conversations with people who are inspired and inspiring, having conversations with people who may have a different kind of more cutting-edge perspective on reality. So based on your conversations with people and how you've kind of assimilated that, Gary, what direction do you think we are headed right now in terms of, let's just talk about the United States at this point?
I think the United States of America is going to spin around for a while around this axis of left versus right, with powerful personalities interjecting themselves into every waking moment, chief among them Donald Trump, for as long as he lasts in office. Mm-hmm. But I also think that the march of technology cannot for long be impeded. And with technology, you have improvement in people's lives to the extent they can afford access to the technology. Take, for example, here's a very basic issue. We are so tied into the internet now for information, you can't separate society from the functionality of the internet.
Right.
With the loss of net neutrality, now it gets to be a cafe industry where if you want access to the internet, especially speedy access to it, you're going to have to take some other stuff that maybe you don't need so much and pay for all of it in a packaging marketing scheme that extracts more money from you for that which used to be free or nearly free.
Or perhaps that's, even sort of discouraging you from accessing certain types of websites, be they resistance websites or yes, websites of alternative medicine or, you know, something that kind of bucks the system could be harder to access.
And by design.
Yeah.
So this is where citizen action becomes so important, because you have to declare a moratorium on the dumbing down of America and shutting out of segments of society who are not participating in what has come lately to be known as the long con, mm-hmm, the idea that it's okay to have an oligarchy. somehow it's not anti-democratic in the small d sense of we're a democracy, right. There that it's okay to have people at the top who will trickle down out of the sheer generosity of right. their large hearts the benefits that come from an overhaul of the tax code just recently accomplished without democratic support. They were shut out of the process. The right. Republicans did this. Trump did this. And now we're going to see what an oligarchy looks like in the 21st century. And then we are called to respond to that if we don't chiefly benefit like the top 1 or 2% of those on the socioeconomic ladder. Mm-hmm. That's going to be one of the defining crises of the next year, 2 years, 5 years, as we decide what kind of country are we really? What does it mean in the 21st century for us to be Americans? Mm-hmm. Will all boats rise? It doesn't seem to be going in that direction. I'm worried about us capsizing.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you were talking about technology, Gary, and what's very clear is in the 2016 election, leading up to the 2016 election, technology was used against us to manipulate our perception of reality, our political choices. And Suzanne, one of the things that I found so inspiring is in the midst of all this, you were choosing a different personal approach. So Suzanne, what do we need to do personally to stay aligned and to get some clarity about what the truth is and where we should be going?
We have talked to some people on air who have done a fair amount of research. And so when the facts are presented to me, what appears to have occurred is that we have actually had things so easy for so long a period of time that our thinking and our perspectives are very skewed. Mm-hmm. We have this real sense of entitlement as to I shouldn't have to work so hard to get everything that I want. Right. And I'm always very surprised, that's not the right word. I'm almost delighted or I take notice of the fact that when people from another country move here, they may come with little or nothing because they are leaving an untenable situation somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And they will thrive here because they see opportunity everywhere.
Right.
And so they work hard and they do a lot to thrive and to be successful in their lives. And now we have a number of people who are saying, well, I don't really want to work that hard. Uh-huh. I mean, one of the reasons that there is this issue of people coming over from Mexico to pick fruits and vegetables is that you can't find people in the United States that will do that kind of back-breaking work
right.
for so little money.
Uh-huh.
When they say, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go out and work in the hot sun. So it seems as though, you know, if our parents or our grandparents were of the Depression era, they knew what it was like to struggle and then celebrate their successes. Mm-hmm. And what has happened since then is that celebration of their successes meant that they could give their children and give their grandchildren things they didn't have, and how delighted they were to gift us. So that a lot of people today expect things to be gifted to them right. without going through the struggle of working for it. So when I look ahead to, you know, how can we think about this more positively? How can we, when you're talking about getting educated or politically involved, I liked the idea of two tracks, and one is to get your thinking in order, and the other is to take some action for it. Uh-huh. And, you know, I do that in my own life, and I appreciate when other people do that in their lives and not just wait for somebody else to solve my problem.
Yeah. And I think that there's great wisdom there, Suzanne. But I look at my 23-year-old who and my 17-year-old, both boys, who are looking at the world and saying, you know what? This is craziness. It's like, why should I work so hard to have all these things? I don't need all these things. Why should I work so hard when there is a system in place that is unfair with this growing divide between the haves and the have-nots? You know, should I really buy into the system that my parents have bought into? So they're asking these questions, and I think it's typical of young people that age who are reassessing about, first of all, why they should be working so hard and what it is they want to achieve. Because I think that there are lots of kids coming out of college, for instance, and having to work in fields that they didn't study in. They're in huge, they have this huge student debts. So, Gary, how do we deal with the dismay of some of the young people and integrate that in a way in our society to help us move forward in a positive way?
I know that in 1968, the spring of 1968, I took civics. Now, can you imagine the spring of 1968, all the way to June and the assassination of Robert Kennedy? Right. I was taking civics. It was being imprinted on my young mind that this is reality. This is our society of that day. This is how politics works or fails to work. And I'm telling you, it was an ugly roller coaster ride for sure. Mm-hmm. Now I'm looking at 50 years down the road. We're coming up on 2018. 50 years later, what will be the way forward? I can't get my mind past this notion that citizens are going to have to be involved. We're going to have to stop being lazy about our voting franchise, which is a privilege.
Yes.
It's a right. Yes, when you register, you have the right to vote. You have the obligation to vote.
Yeah.
You have the opportunity to lend your voice, even if it gets drowned out by the echo chambers. Nevertheless, you can take to the streets. You can speak out. You can have a voice attending a meeting of your local school board. Wherever it is that you are going to plant your flag, make sure it's an American flag that represents your values, and do not remain silent and kick back against your own laziness in order to make a statement about how you want our reality to change in a nation where we definitely, in as sheer a way as I have ever experienced, we have the haves and the have-nots, and one side with the power, the money, the resources would just as soon have the have-nots disappear.
Mm-hmm.
They act like they can't see us anyway. It's a purposeful kind of blindness to what blights our society for millions of our citizens.
Yeah.
So I would turn it around on you, Christine, if you don't mind for a second, because I would love to hear you articulate your point of view. You are a lady of means. You are, to whatever degree, you may not be one of the one percenters, but nevertheless, you are a citizen of means, a self-made lady, a well-educated person, and you have made it in this society. And I would ask you, let me throw down this gauntlet. What's in it for you to see that tens of millions of people get access to health care and a decent education and stay out of jail simply because they can't pay the fines that are imposed upon them? What's in it for someone like you?
Yeah. Well, you know what, Gary? I am going to ponder that as we go to a quick break. And when we return, I'm going to answer that question, because I think that I'm a microcosm of a bigger movement, and we're here to make changes. So stay tuned for more on the Christine Upchurch Show with Gary and Suzanne.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelm and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath. To signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is, sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Chances are you've been on your conscious journey for many years and you've learned a lot about manifesting a wonderful life. But if you are like many others on their spiritual paths, you may still have some area of your life where you're feeling stuck. Perhaps you've read many books, attended lots of workshops, listened to many programs, and done plenty of inner work, and yet there is still something you'd like to change. With all the information out there, it may be hard to see the forest for the trees. Do you want to get a bird's eye view of that forest so you are empowered to navigate more effectively? Do you want to know the key to positive change and develop a personalized strategy for creating the changes you desire? Please join me, Christine Upchurch, for a four-week webinar series beginning January 9th. Start your new year right and embrace the vibration of change. For more information, visit ChristineUpchurch.com. That's ChristineUpchurch.com or call 425-999-9836. Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com. Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I have the honor of having the hosts of the Mance and Mitchell Show here today, and we are talking about the state of the world in 2017 and where we envision 2018 moving to. So before the break, Gary, you were asking me, as somebody, I sort of declared myself as a have versus a have not. When I look at the overall picture, I have less risk in terms of surviving. I'm in a really good position where I don't have to worry about where my groceries are coming from. I don't have to worry about having a roof over my head. I'm very, very fortunate in those terms. So when I see politicians who are supposed to be representing the people making choices that make the rich richer and the poor poorer, I am horrified. It's funny because I believe in the support of the universe, and I think that that's one of the reasons why I have financial support and other types of support as well, because I'm here on a mission to help change the world. That may sound grandiose, and I know that there are probably many of you who are listening who either have recognized that about yourself, that you're here for an important purpose, or you may have this inkling that, okay, yeah, well, I've sort of felt called, but I'm not exactly sure how I'm supposed to show up. But whether it means showing up and doing your gratitude journaling every day, changing your own vibration, or becoming an activist, as you were saying, Gary, whatever it is, it's like each of us has the potential to change the world for the better. So if we get into our heart center, and life will break our heart open, and if we're willing to allow that flow of grief, and willing to allow the change that comes through the pain we experience, that connects us with our heart. And if we're connected to our heart, then how can we let the less fortunate have issues with health? And how can we let the poor get poorer? How can we let those who are in war-torn countries not find a way to find relief in a place like our country? It's like if you open your heart, then yes, you still have boundaries, and there are certain boundaries you have to instill in order to find balance and have balance. But if you really care, then you have to care for all, including animals. That's very important to me as well.
And to us, absolutely. Back in my college days, back in the 70s, we used to get into these academic discussions of what used to be and may still be known as lifeboat ethics. And this kind of thing that you get a few beers in and you start waxing philosophical at the frat house. It was that sort of thing. And when we got into a discussion of lifeboat ethics, the crux of it was that if you are perceived as not contributing to the well-being of everyone in that lifeboat, then over the side you go, and it is justifiable on the basis of your lack of utility, your lack of an ability to contribute to the greater good, the good of all. My argument against that is if you suppress somebody to the point where they are uneducated or poorly educated and their health is not maintained and they become dependent on substances both legal and illegal, the probability of their making a worthwhile contribution to society approaches zero. And then they are simply disregarded, or increasingly the case at a record pace as Western democracies go, they may be incarcerated. Mm-hmm. We pretty much lead the league in incarceration.
Yes,
and that incarceration works to the continuing detriment and the destruction of certain ethnic groups. Yeah. Blacks and Latinos,
right.
They are much more likely to be incarcerated than even white people who commit the same crimes or those who commit so-called white-collar crimes.
Yes.
This is the topsy-turvy imbalance in our society, where the haves live very well with increasing luxury at the expense of those who find it hard to put food on their tables or get their kids well-educated so that they have a shot in life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part. Now, as an individual, I get on the air. I do my share of griping. I may suggest something that I feel is constructive. Medicare for all would be a wonderful thing. I would love to see that happen if we experience the big blue wave that the Democrats are anticipating with more or less some sense of organization. I'm not sure they're going to pull that off in November of 2018, but it's going to take enough people to create this wave of change that ignores no one, mm-hmm. the legitimate rights and aspirations of no one in our society.
Right.
How we get from here to there is anybody's guess, but we'd better be paying attention.
Yeah. And I wonder, Gary, in that lifeboat example, if just by the very virtue that they were on the lifeboat, that the fact that they were on the lifeboat made them worthy of being on the lifeboat, then it's so nobody deserved to be thrown over. If each of us sort of internalized our worthiness for being here, our worthiness for being a part of society, our worthiness of being a part of our culture, our part of our global collective, our part of our shifting consciousness, then perhaps that sense of worthiness would turn into purpose and automatically encourage somebody to contribute more of themselves to the world in a positive way.
Can I jump in here,
please,
Christine?
Do, yeah.
I think what you're talking about is the sticks by which we measure things.
Uh-huh.
Your yardsticks, and we have talked about this before, where each person has a particular yardstick by which they measure other people, and those yardsticks generally are very subconscious unless you have managed to dust them off and bring them out and reveal them in the light of day.
Mm-hmm.
I know for myself, the yardstick by which I measure people has to do with how bright they are, with how smart they are, and not necessarily educated, but somebody who thinking and got something on the ball to share. And I will judge people pretty quickly by saying, well, you know, they're not that bright. Uh-huh. Or, oh, he's a very bright person. Mm-hmm. And so that's my measure stick. Then there's going to be somebody else who has a measure stick of kindness.
Yes.
So you could be the brightest person in the world, but if you've got a mean streak, you're going to measure very low on somebody's kindness scale.
Sure.
Whereas if you're a kind person, how smart you are really makes no difference at all. And the same thing would happen is when you're looking at that lifeboat is that you're looking at who is it that can contribute and who is it that can't contribute. Now, it could be that you have a master musician or an artist of unbelievable talent uh-huh. in that boat.
Right.
But if drawing a picture or creating a piece of music isn't the measuring stick that you're using, then obviously they're going overboard. Mm-hmm. So as we look at those bigger pictures for 2018 and we're saying, you know, for a lot of us, we would like to see a culture wherein there is less of a discrepancy between the highest paid person and the lowest paid person so that everyone's boat rises at the same time. The economy goes along very well because everybody's got money to spend, not just a few people. Mm-hmm. I think we have to look as a culture as how we are measuring people, because obviously if you're a one percenter, the people who matter are the people who are in the 1% for the most part,
perhaps,
you know,
yes.
With some exceptions.
Some of them, yeah.
And so really, we have to look at what is it that we value. And I think for a very, very long time, we have been valuing the stuff and the things and the cars and the houses and the boats. And when you're talking about some younger people who are coming in and not really valuing that stuff, then it gives us some hope that they will replace that with something that is more humane and less material.
Right. And the question that I keep coming back to is for the young people who are discouraged by the system, yes, they can shift their values and say, you know, owning a house isn't important to me. Owning a car that I have to make, you know, payments for 5 years isn't important to me. So, but how do you inspire somebody who's discouraged to actually contribute in their own way?
Well, I would say that involves a lot of self-reflection, because if I'm going to contribute to anything in my own way, I'd best have a pretty good idea of who I am and what I have to offer.
Mm. There you go.
Do people stop to even think about that?
Yep. Yeah.
A lot do, but a lot don't, because they feel like they're invisible in society, that it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Getting people out of that mindset is the big challenge. Encouraging them to see themselves. Jesse Jackson used to be one for this many, many years ago, 30 years ago. I am somebody. It was a mantra for him. I am somebody.
Right.
And when he got people to believe that, and he found the means in certain cases of moving people in direction, chiefly blacks, but anyone who was listening, move them in the direction of self-empowerment, you have some success stories to show for it, and you have your disappointments as well.
Right.
But the tendency is toward progress.
Yeah. And I think that what's going on in our country right now is encouraging us to focus on kind of the financial structure and the rights. And in this next segment, after this quick break, I'm going to want to talk to you two about how we go beyond the obvious of our reality and how we tune into the potential at the quantum level to create an inspired new 2018. More with Manson Mitchell here in just a few moments. Stay tuned. Chances are you've been on your conscious journey for many years, and you've learned a lot about manifesting a wonderful life. But if you are like many others on their spiritual paths, you may still have some area of your life where you're feeling stuck.
Perhaps you've read many books, attended lots of workshops, listened to many programs, and done plenty of inner work, and yet there is still something you'd like to change. With all the information out there, it may be hard to see the forest for the trees. Do you want to get a bird's eye view of that forest so you are empowered to navigate more effectively? Do you want to know the key to positive change and develop a personalized strategy for creating the changes you desire? Please join me, Christine Upchurch, for a 4-week webinar series beginning January 9th. Start your new year right and embrace the vibration of change. For more information, visit ChristineUpchurch.com. That's ChristineUpchurch.com or call 425-999-9836.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age, and it provided the truth and the answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show. That's kind of amusing because now we actually have cameras. So, you know, once upon a time, I didn't have to care what I looked like at all when I came to do the show. And these days it's like, do I have lipstick on? I don't know.
I've been saying it over and over. You don't need it.
Oh, thank you.
Gorgeous.
Okay. So, you know, we've been talking about how...
I have to be very careful
with what I say, yes. how messed up our world is right now, particularly here in the United States. We're at this place of growth, and it's like we are going through some growing pains, I think. And we've talked about some of the actions we need to take, some of what's going on in the external world and how that's shifting. But I know, Gary, and I know, Suzanne, that you both focus a lot on the inner world and the power that we have on a quantum level to shift our own personal reality to help with you know, manifestation. So, Suzanne, how do we go about doing that at this stage of the game if we want to help change the world?
You know, I think you just said that so beautifully, Christine, that our inner world is being reflected in our outer world, mm-hmm. and we have the kind of world that we live in is very much a reflection of our purging ourselves of maybe what has been wrong and giving ourselves the opportunity to set things right again. You were talking about inspired and inspiring. Mm-hmm. What inspires you and how are you inspiring in 2018? And I'll tell you a couple of things that come to mind really quickly, and it came about as a result of the music coming back in. I know that music is very inspiring for people. It touches people at a quantum level, and you can hear a piece of music and get very excited, very happy. Of course, it can also make you sad, too, because there's plenty of sad music. But I think that there are things that we can do to give ourselves that inspiration that we need to lift us up, to lift our own spirits up so that we're not dependent on other people or other situations. I received an adult coloring book for Christmas, and I've never had one before. And I'm now on my second page of coloring, and I'm absolutely delighted. You know, what would I be doing if I wasn't doing that? I'm not quite sure. You know, if I watch TV, play some, you know, computer games, whatever it was that takes time, you know, downtime. My downtime is now coloring, and I get to pick the color of the pencils, and I get to, you know, place the colors where I want them. I think there are things that we can do for ourselves, whether it's a gratitude journal, listening to music, drawing, painting, whatever it is. There are things that we can do that are self-nourishing. And when we lift ourselves up, then we do become inspirations for other people. And it doesn't have to be so intentional, like I'm going to inspire you today. No, we just need to be that change. We need to be that inspiration, not like teachers who are going to somehow impart great knowledge, but we need to be self-empowering so that we then can take that power out into the world and make the kinds of changes we want to make, and we feel like we can do it.
I love that, Suzanne. Okay, Gary,
thank you.
In a couple minutes or less, can you share your wisdom with how we can begin to manifest something positive by working at the quantum level outward?
That is an individual task. You have to have heart and soul. It helps also, as I never tire of saying, to use both hemispheres of your brain. Use your power of reasoning. Don't ignore it. Don't treat it as less than the power of imagination and manifestation, all of which is important. I like to say, be whole-brained, don't be crack-brained. If you honor both hemispheres of your brain and practice with them on a daily basis, almost certainly the quality of your life and those whose lives you touch will improve. I think that's quantifiable.
And I think that what's also quantifiable is about the power of the heart. And I know that HeartMath, they've done a lot of science to show that the heart itself has a lot of power. So it's not just about the brain, it's also about the heart. And if we can learn to engage that and not be afraid of the pain that we may feel if we reside there, because, oh my goodness, if we really tune into what our heart feels about what's going on with the oppression of you know, people of lower economic class, the oppression of certain classes of individuals who are categorized in whatever way. If we are saddened by some of these things in the world, we have to, in order to open our heart to kind of engage that for manifesting, we need to have the courage to face the pain as well.
You know, I agree. HeartMath is a wonderful modality, too, because it teaches you to lower your voice, stop screaming, and don't talk past one another. That's a gift.
You know, Gary and Suzanne, I really appreciate you joining us here today because you do a great service to the world. I don't think people understand when they're listening to radio, they think, oh, you know, these hosts get hired and it's a lucrative business being on the air. You know, we actually contribute on our own in order to share with our community. So you two do community service that's really important. And I want to thank you for showing up in the world to make 2018 better by doing what you do. And also for being here today, Gary and Suzanne.
It was our great pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And back at you. You perform a great service as well. High level.
And I also want to take this opportunity to thank a few people who are integral to this show. Of course, Benny, I'm so grateful for you. Thank you. I can't end 2017 without seeing what a difference you make in my life for in this show, and it's a great service.
Oh, it's my honor being here. Thank you.
And I also want to thank my associate producer, Peggy Snow. Oh my God, she's amazing. She's so wonderful at finding guests, at interacting with their support staff or with the guests directly, at coordinating things. So, you know, this piece of it is so easy for me. And I'm grateful to you, Peggy. I know you're listening. I'm also grateful to Linda and Pat and to those here at Hubbard Radio. And I'm particularly grateful to you, the listener, because you are the reason that we do this show. And I hope that you find some inspiration. I hope you find some knowledge. I hope you find something of value in each and every show. And I appreciate you. And I wish you a happy new year.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.